Well, what did it take to get the two of you in a room?
You know, what's funny is it actually doesn't take much. And I think the reason for that is when you get off of Capitol Hill and you get outside of the context of the very partisan politically charged conversations about gun policy in America, and you actually have regular people having conversations about this issue, it's not as divisive and as fraught a conversation as one might think.
Though, Adam, it's certainly a complex conversation. How does one frame it? Is it a criminal justice issue, mental health, public health, commerce? Some of each.
Yes, it is all of those issues. And it is a complex issue. And I think one of the benefits of having a civil discourse and sitting down and talking to people and trying to persuade them is you get a chance to delve into that complexity instead of reducing the entire issue down to a bumper sticker slogan or a political talking point.
Chelsea, do you agree the goal is persuasion? Is it you win, he loses, vice versa? Or is there some sort of a middle ground possible?
I mean, I think that the ultimate goal is to come to a place in our current contemporary culture in this country where we can have an open and respectful conversation about gun violence and gun culture and the Second Amendment and the role of firearms in our society, and figure out where we have places of agreement and where we have nuggets and kernels of agreement, figure out how we can then turn that into action. How can we take those moments and opportunities and take advantage of them to address some of these challenges that we have in our country?
That sounds good. And with that, Adam, what would you agree are some of the nuggets and kernels from which you can start?
Well, I mean, I think there's a general consensus that dangerous people should not have firearms, that people who manifest some kind of violent tendencies basically forfeit their rights to bear arms. Now, the disagreements come in trying to iron out what kind of policies we have to prevent that from happening. But I think there's a basic agreement, and everybody in good faith, nobody wants murders, nobody wants mass shootings. I think there's an agreement that there's a problem here, and we agree about some of the outcomes that we want. We may just disagree about what policies achieve those outcomes.
Though with such a hot button topic, and also abortion might come to mind, some feel that any give back is a precursor to a slippery slope.
That's part of the kind of highly charged partisan rhetoric I think you hear a lot is, you know, we have to take a firm position because to give an inch is to give a mile. And I think what we hope to accomplish by having conversations like this is to you know, build relationships, maybe build more trust between the different groups and organizations and communities who are working on this issue so that we can actually try to dig into where is there some consensus and how do we make progress on this issue.
Are either of you aware of precedent for this sort of experiment on this topic?
I mean, I think that, you know, Over the years, there have been different conversations. I know I've been invited to Cato before to speak on this issue. But I think that there certainly is a need for more opportunities, more for a toned down conversation about guns in America.
Adam, have you in turn been invited to the Center for American Progress?
Well, I'm here right now speaking to
you.
There
we go.
But I also think it is important. We have these kind of discussions and debates all the time in D.C. I mean, that's kind of what organizations like Cato and CAP do. But I do think it's important to get outside the Beltway and have these conversations in communities where they may not have been exposed to a serious but civil discussion about issues like this.
And, you know, we hear all the time that when one does get away from the Beltway, normal Americans, for a lack of a better term, do think in more moderate terms around any number of hot button issues, though ultimately, though, doesn't it have to return to the Beltway where this issue will ultimately be decided?
Yeah, I think that that's right. And I think that, I mean, this is what's evident when you look at some of the polling on some issues, right? So we, you know, there's been lots of polling on background checks, and the polling shows high high levels of support among vast majorities of Americans supporting that policy, yet when it comes to passing that kind of legislation in Congress, it hasn't moved forward at all. So I think that that's part of the benefit of just having conversations, like Adam said, in communities, and really starting at the grassroots and working with the grassroots to then filter up to the policymakers, kind of, this issue is important and here's how we think it should be handled.
And so, Adam, I'm curious, how does the Cato Institute square its positions on this issue with public polling results that might be at variance?
Well, so we argue from a libertarian perspective, from an individual rights and constitutional perspective when it comes to things like gun rights and on a variety of other issues. So when it comes to what our principles are, those aren't really affected by what the polling data says. This election cycle, for instance, who's being elevated to the level of president doesn't necessarily mean that those are the best policies just because they have a majority support. So for us, it's about the principle of the thing, not necessarily about what the polls show. One thing I would like to highlight is just, I also think events like this, I think there's a big divide in America on the gun rights issue based on where people live and what their experiences were growing up. So I think it's useful, it is especially useful for people who, for instance, may have lived their entire lives in Philadelphia, to hear what gun rights means to somebody like me from Oklahoma and vice versa. I think there's a lot of talking past each other on this issue because people come from different backgrounds, and hopefully this is a chance to kind of reconcile that.
Chelsea, does that resonate, that geography and specifically urban versus rural is a big predeterminant in one's notions around this issue?
You certainly see very different points of view and experiences regarding guns in different parts of the country. And there's certainly an urban and rural divide. And I think that, you know, gun culture in the United States is not a monolith. I think it looks very different in different parts of the country, which then is one of the challenges in having a kind of respectful, productive, high-level conversation about this issue at the national level.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you for engaging in civil, informative discourse as a precursor to the event coming up. Thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Chelsea Parsons is Vice President for Guns and Crime Policy from the Center for American Progress. Adam Bates is Policy Analyst for the Cato Institute Project on Criminal Justice.